for. And then I'm glad to be back at the Faith Baptist Church, and I'm glad you're here. We have some new faces that I'm not familiar with, and then we have some old faces, and I mean that in the sense of familiar. Amen. And good to see you all here. And it's always a blessing to come back. I'm glad to hear you're going to have Brother Barnhouse. I haven't seen him in a good while. And I hope he's doing well. Tell him I said hello when you see him. I want you to look with me in the book of Luke for a few moments this morning. Luke in the first chapter. And we're going to start reading in verse number 26. And you're probably going to think when I read this that I'm on the wrong holiday, because this is a passage that we normally use around Christmas. But I want to preach a little while this morning on this subject, the world's most famous mother. I don't guess there's another mother more famous than the one we're going to talk about today, and I want to talk about her for just a few moments. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, the Bible said, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Now we'll stop reading there, and I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to help us. And then for just a few moments, I want to preach on the most famous mother in all the world. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. I pray you'll help us now today in the preaching of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to hearts, my heart and the hearts of others that are here. And I pray, Lord, we'll be willing to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. It's a precious thing, Lord, that you would speak to somebody like us, that you would want to help us and change our lives and make us your own. Now help us, Lord, to see not only how precious it is, but the responsibility of it, to respond to what you say to us. Help your people. If there's someone here lost without God and without hope in this world, I pray they'd repent of their sin and believe the gospel and be saved. I pray God's people would find encouragement today in the truth of the Scripture. We'll thank you, Lord. You're a wonderful God, a sweet Savior and a precious Lord. And we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to preach a little while on the most famous mother in the world. Mothers are famous for a lot of things. You could probably think of some things about your mother that she was famous for, probably that no one else in the world knows about, but you know about them. I remember as a young fellow, one day I got ill, and I remember going and my mother got me and put me in her own bed there in the bedroom where Mom and Dad were, and she laid me down, and I fell asleep. And then when I woke up, it was a strange thing, because the boys were home from school, my three brothers. My dad was home from work, and I thought it was morning time, and I was a little confused. And I said, Mama, how come the boys didn't go to school, and how come Daddy's not at work? And she said, Oh, son, she said, You've been asleep for a long time. I'd been delirious for a day or two with the sickness. And she said, you've been asleep a long time. They've gone to work and they've gone to school and they've come back. Now, I was just a little fella and I didn't understand it all then. But as I look back at it, I think now about how tired my mama looked. And I think back there was a bowl of water there and there was a towel. And obviously she'd sat by my bed during that time and wiped my brow and cared for her son. Something about mothers. Now, that's not something the world would say much about, but it meant a lot to me. It means a lot to me. I think about the things my mother did along the way to help me. They bought me my first guitar when I was 8 years old. First thing I did was break all the strings off it. All but two, and my dad was so upset, took him 2 years before he'd buy me another set. So people said, when did you start playing? I said, well, I got my first guitar when I was 8, but I didn't start playing until I was 10 because I broke all the strings off. But my mama was a wonderful lady. She's in heaven now. Get to see her one of these days. Mamas are famous for a lot of things. There's a little fella was in a play one time, and he had a certain line that he was supposed to repeat from the Bible, and it came time for his turn, and his mama was down on the front row. She's trying to help him, going to give him a little bit of encouragement, you know, and he forgot what he's supposed to say. He could not think of what he was supposed to say, and he's standing there and just trying to think and couldn't think, and he looked down at his mama, and she put her hands, and she said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And boy, he perked up and said, my mother is the light of the world. And the truth of the matter is, in our lives, that's the way it is. Mama's the light of the world. There's a mother here that's famous. She's famous for the son that she bore into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, I want us to think about her for just a moment or two this morning. And I have three things I want to say about this famous mother. She was chosen by God to be the earthly mother of the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world. I won't preach on this morning, but if you study through your Bible, it seems to be that whenever God wanted to do something amazing, he would have an unusual child born into the world. And then he would use that child. And he's going to do something amazing here because there's going to be the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, a woman who had never known a man. And she's going to have a child because of the miracle of God. And that child, the Bible said, is going to be the Son of the Highest. He's going to be the Lord Jesus who died on the cross to save us from our sin. That makes her pretty famous. Amen. Now, I want to say three things about her. The first thing I want you to think about with me is the excellence apparent in this woman. Apparently, she was a very excellent woman. She was a very excellent mother and a very excellent wife and really a very excellent person if you think about her. I thought about what the Scripture says about her in the text that we have read. I think first of all, we would note that this woman was faithful to Joseph. He was going to be her husband. They were espoused. We would call it engaged. They're going to be married. And when this angel comes and says to her, you're going to have a child, her answer is, how can this be, seeing I've not known a man? She said, that's a physical impossibility. Now, that tells me something about her. It tells me that she was a faithful young woman, pure in her life, and faithful to the man that loved her. She had been faithful to Joseph. They're going to get married one of these days. And I think it's important for all of us to be faithful, to our we that are men, be faithful to our wives, wives to be faithful to your husbands. It's important, faithfulness. In fact, the Bible said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We're living in a day today when faithfulness doesn't seem to be important. Purity doesn't seem to be important. Doesn't matter anymore. Seeming like young people get involved in wickedness, and even now, folks that have been married for years being unfaithful one to another, and it's destroying the fabric of our society. But I'll remind you of this. The Bible said marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Somebody say, well, I tell you what we're going to do, preacher. We're going to live together, and then we're going to get married, and we're going to find out if we're compatible and see if it'll work out. Well, here's the problem. If you're under the judgment of God already because you've been living in immorality, how can you expect God to bless the marriage? You say, well, preacher, what can we do? Get right with God. Amen. I was preaching one time, a family was living together and outside of marriage. It was an unusual thing. I can't go through all the specifics of it. I don't have time. But I used them for an illustration in the sermon without knowing what was going on. But God knew. And that man, after the service, he came to me. He said, preacher, I'm moving out tonight. If I have to live in a treehouse, I'm moving out. And he said, I won't move back in until we get ourselves right with God. That's a good attitude to have. You say, well, preacher, I've done wrong. Then here's the wonderful thing about God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can get right if you humble yourself before God. She is faithful to her husband. She was also faithful to her God, to Jehovah. Now listen to what what she says. She says down here in verse number 38, after this announcement, she looks at this angel and says to the angel, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." She didn't argue with what God had for her. She didn't contend with him. She didn't say, "I know better than you know, and this isn't going to be right." She said, "I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to be what God wants me to be." That's faithfulness to the Lord. That ought to be the desire of every one of our hearts, to be faithful to God and to want in our lives what God wants for us. You say, "Preacher, why should I want that?" Because what he wants is right, and what he wants is best. It'd be best for you. It'd be for your good, and it'd be for his glory. She was faithful to Joseph. She was faithful to Jehovah, her God. She was also faithful to Jesus, her son. Now, this is telling us about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look with me in John chapter 19 a moment. John chapter 19, we find the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's being crucified on a cross. He's dying for my sin and for your sin. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 19 that Mary is there. Look in verse 25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother." What about that? She stayed with him. Now, there were a lot of things that Mary didn't understand about Jesus, her own son. In fact, in the early days of Jesus' life, there were some prophecies made about him, about that he was going to die. And the Bible said Mary kept all these things in her heart. And she followed along, and she was faithful to that boy all through his life. And finally, when he's dying on the cross, his mother is right there. I say to you, she's a faithful woman. We think a lot of Mary, and we ought to. But there's a second thing I want you to think about Mary. Not only the apparent excellence of Mary, but there are some errors that have been taught about Mary, some things that are not true. We know it's true that she is a faithful woman, but there's some things about her that are being taught today and have been taught that are not true. There have been some things said about her. Now, do you remember what happened when Joseph found out she was with child? Do you remember what he thought in his heart? The Bible tells us about it in the book of Matthew, I believe it is. The Bible said Joseph was minded to put her away privily. He cared about her, he loved her, but he felt like she had been unfaithful. Sometimes when we're faithful, we're misunderstood, aren't we? Sometimes when we do what God would have us to do, sometimes when we obey the Lord, people who do not know the Lord misunderstand what we're doing. I'd say this to you about Mama, you just serve God. You just go on and be right with God. It'll be all right. You say, "Well, some people don't understand what's going on." That's okay. Maybe God will work in their heart, and through your testimony, there'll be a change in their lives. Here's what happened to Joseph. When Joseph found out she was with child, and he didn't know it was of the Holy Ghost, he didn't know what God was doing. He thought perhaps she'd been unfaithful, but an angel came and spoke to him and told him what was going on. And here's what'll happen. If you'll be faithful to give God a chance to work in people's lives. So just be faithful. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm a faithful wife and a faithful mother, but people don't understand." Just be faithful anyway. It'll give God a chance. In fact, the Bible tells us that if a woman is a godly woman and her husband is ungodly, in Peter, the Bible said she can win him by her chaste conversation coupled with fear. In other words, if she'll live for God, it'll give God a chance to work in the life of her husband. There's some errors thought about Mary when the child was born, but there's been some errors taught about Mary over the years. I'll remind you of a couple of them. Mary did not remain a virgin. No, she had other children, sons and daughters. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 6, they're talking about Jesus. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? They were offended at him. Mary was not a perpetual virgin. Some would teach that, but it's not true. Here's a second error told about Mary, that Mary was sinless, and that also is not true. Mary was a sinner like you and I. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 47, here's what she says, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Now, you don't need a Savior if you're not a sinner. But Mary said, "I have a Savior. God is my Savior." Here's another error that's being taught, has been taught about Mary, and that is she is our mediator between us and God, and that's not true. The Bible said there is one God and one mediator between men and God, the man, Christ Jesus. We don't pray to Mary, we pray to Jesus. You say, preacher, I want to get to God. Then you come in Jesus' name, not in Mary's name. And then there's another error being taught about Mary, and that is she's the queen of heaven. But we don't find that anywhere in the Bible. We find that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when God gives us a chance to look into heaven and see Jesus in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we find Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the root of Jesse. And we find him, the Lamb of God slain. He's standing in the midst, and all of heaven is gathered around Jesus, and they're rejoicing in him. And they're saying, thou art worthy to redeem us, or thou art worthy to be praised, for thou hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred and every tribe and every nation. And what they're saying is Jesus is the focal point of heaven and the center of heaven and no one else. So there's been some errors taught about Mary. But here's what I want us to end up with this morning. The excellence apparent in Mary, the errors that have been taught about her. But I want us to see the explanation announced by Mary. Mary's going to tell us what her life is like. She's going to tell us what she wants us to know about her and about God. Let's take it. You know, they used to say this, let's get it. I probably shouldn't use this expression concerning Mary, but they used to say, let's get the truth from the horse's mouth. Let's hear what Mary herself has to say. Let's not say, well, this is what I think about Mary, or that's what they think about Mary. Let's see what Mary herself has to say about her relationship with God, about who she was and what she needed and what God did for her, and it'll help us this morning. Luke chapter 1, look in verse 46. Here's Mary's testimony. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. You know what Mary would have us do today? She'd have us worship the Lord Jesus. She'd have us magnify him. She'd have us lift him up. She would have him to have the preeminence. She goes on and she said, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary said, I have a Savior. God is my Savior. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to live the best life I can and get to heaven. No, Mary didn't say that. She didn't say, well, I lived a good life, so I don't need a Savior. We found out, we looked at it, she's a faithful woman, but that wasn't good enough to get her to heaven. Somebody said, preacher, I'm good enough to get to heaven. I don't need a Savior. No, here's what the Bible said. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 53 said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus said this in John. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In the book of Acts, Paul and Silas are coming along, and they have helped a man through the power of God who was a cripple, and they say this to him. They say, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They were saying, we did this in the name of Jesus. And I'm saying to you, if you want to get to God, if you want to be saved, there's only one name. There's only one way you can get there, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, I'll live the best I can and I'll get to heaven. Here's what Paul said in the book of Ephesians. He said, for by grace, that's unmerited favor with God. That's something you cannot earn. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And Paul said in the book of Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I remember some years ago, I was thinking about this the other day because I've had a little back trouble lately, and some years ago, probably 30 years ago, I had back surgery. And I was supposed to be out. They worked on my back and done some stuff to it, and I was supposed to be out for about 7 or 8 weeks, but I think 3 weeks after I had surgery, I was able to preach, and I was standing in a large church, the Landmark Baptist Church in Haines City, Florida. There was a bunch of people there, probably 2,000 people there that morning, and I was preaching, on you must be born again. And three times in the sermon, I remember it because of what the fellow said to me afterward. Three times in the sermon, I leaned over the pulpit and I pointed my finger. I don't do that very often, but I did it. Three times in the sermon, I leaned over and I pointed my finger and said, you must be born again. Three times I did that. Well, at the end of the service, There were several people that came forward, but a man came forward who had been in that church for years. He'd been a teacher in the Christian school. He came and he got down on the altar and he bowed his knee, and somebody came to pray with him and he got saved. He got born again, got his heart right. And after the service, he said this to me. He said, "Now I've tried to live right. I've tried to be good. I've tried to do right." He said, but there have been three occasions in my life that somebody has pointed their finger at me and said, "You must be born again." And he said, "One of those was this morning." And he said, "When you did that, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, 'You're not saved. You've been trying to earn your way to heaven. You've been trying to be good enough to get to heaven, and nobody can do that.'" And he trusted the Lord as his Savior that day. He quit working on his own goodness, and he got born again by doing what the Bible said, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he got saved. You'll never get to heaven by being good. You never get to heaven by turning over a new leaf. Some people say, "Well, I can never get saved. I can't be good enough." Well, half of that statement's true. The second half, you can never be good enough. Nobody can. The Bible said there's none good. There's none righteous. There's none that seeketh after God. And as good as Mary was, it could not get her to heaven. What got her to heaven? She tells us she had a Savior. The Lord Jesus. God was her Savior. And I'm saying to you this morning, you want to get to heaven, God will have to be your Savior. You say, "I want to go to heaven." Then you'll have to come as a sinner and trust Jesus as your Savior. Here's what he said. He said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." I talked to a man one day who was 84 years old. He'd been in church for 64 years. I said to him, I talked to him a long time, and when I was just knocking on doors, going door to door. He invited me in, we talked a while. When we got done talking, he told me some wonderful things. We had a wonderful talk. I said, "Before I go, can I ask you a question?" He said, "Sure." I said, "If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven?" He said, "I hope so." I said, "Well, could I take my Bible and show you how you could know so?" He said, "All right." So I took my Bible and began to tell him. I started out like this: "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I said, "That includes me, and that includes you, and includes everyone up and down the street. We've all sinned." He said, "Not me. I've never been a sinner." But the Bible said all have sinned. You know, that man been in church 64 years, and he's 84 years old, and I never could convince him that he had ever sinned. And until you know you're a sinner, you'll never receive the Savior. But the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible said the wages of sin is death. Now listen to me. As wonderful, as excellent a person as Mary was, if God had not been her Savior, she would have died and spent eternity in hell. And anybody who rejects Christ, they'd be like the rich man of Luke chapter 16. "And the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame.'" And as wonderful as Mary was, as great a person as she was, even as faithful as she was, that's not enough. That wasn't enough to get her saved. She said, "I had to have a Savior." And you've got to have a Savior this morning. And if you don't have a Savior, you'll never get to heaven. You'll never spend eternity with God unless you're saved. So Mary tells us from her own mouth, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." She'll go on and say, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." I think all of us here that are saved could say the same thing. God hath done great things for us, and holy is his name. I'm trying to say to you this morning, you need a Savior. Doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter how bad you are. You need a Savior. Doesn't matter whether you're moral or immoral. Whether you're in church or out of church. Doesn't matter whether you're faithful or unfaithful. Honest or dishonest. Educated or uneducated. Rich or poor. Makes no difference. You need a Savior this morning. Jesus is your only hope, but he's a good hope. And if you'll trust him, he'll save you. He said, "All who come to me, I will in no wise cast out." He said this. One day they came to him and they said, "Master, tell us what we must do to do the works of God." And Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. One day in the book of Acts, Paul and Silas were in the prison, and the jailer came in and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas said to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." 2 weeks ago, I preached in just outside of Lenore, North Carolina, at the Community Baptist Church. There's a man attending that church. He won't mind me telling you his name. His name is Rufus. Probably about 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago, I preached just down the road in the Ambassador Baptist Church in Hudson, North Carolina. And Rufus was in the meeting. He's a cocaine addict, a drug addict. His wife was there and he was there. He's lost without God, wrapped up and hooked on drugs. At the end of the service, Rufus came running to the altar. He didn't get down on the altar like most people do, but he grabbed the pulpit and he started crying out to God to save him. And God saved his soul. He's there now, a member at the Community Baptist Church in Lenore, North Carolina. I got to preach to him last week again. Do you know what made the difference in Rufus's life? He was a sinner, but he met the Savior. And I tell you today, God will make a difference in your life. He can put your life back together. He can make you brand new. Here's what Paul said: if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So I'm looking at Mary and I'm saying she's probably the most famous mother in all of the world. But here's the most wonderful thing about her. She wanted us to know she had a Savior. God saved her. He'll save you just like he saved her if you'll believe on him. I want you to bow your heads a moment if you will. My wife's going to come to the piano.